You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ko tangata whenua, tēnei waiata, ko Upper Hutt Posse, nā kai waiata, and we have got Dean Hapeta on the line. Kia ora, Dean, how are you?
Tēnā koe, te kupu is the name also.
Yes, te kupu, kia ora, how are you? It's so mean to be able to chat to you today ahead of a very special gig, which is now long anticipated because COVID got in the way last time. You are heading up to Tamaki Makaurau for Hoki Mai Ki Te Hiri Hiri, which is happening at Whammy Bar tomorrow. This is part two of a really special Matariki rock and roll show that was put on by 1 to 12 Records and Whammy Bar, and you're going to be playing with Upper Hutt Posse, of course. How are you feeling? What's going on?
Well, it's nice to be able to get to Tamaki Makaurau. After 2020, we had a gig there also, which got canned because of COVID-19. And yeah, this one here has been delayed by a month. So yeah, looking forward to getting to the Big Apple. Yeah.
It is very much the mode of the last 18 months is just being nimble about gigs, I guess. But I wanted to chat a little bit about what does an Upper Hutt Posse performance feel like for you in 2021? Does it have the same kind of vibe, the same kind of energy that you've had since 1985? I'm pretty sure it will have that same kind of rawness, that same kind of mana that those performances had. But what is, I guess, for you, an Upper Hutt Posse show?
Well, the energy is the same because we're still doing Upper Hutt Posse songs. Mm. Here too is, of course, one of them that which we'll be playing on the night. But at this point in time, the band I'll be playing with is six people. That's me on guitar and vocals, my brother MC Wire on bass and vocals, Blue Dread on percussion, my daughter Ahura, who's 13, playing keys.
Amazing.
Jeff Henderson on saxophones and Earl Robertson, a.k.a. Early D, on drums. So it's a live band set up, you know, and we actually formed Upper Hutt Posse as a four-piece reggae band back at the end of 1985, and three of those members of that four are performing tomorrow night. So, you know, hey, this is the roots.
Yeah, hard out. It's a pretty special thing to be able to have those long-standing connections with your crew from a long time back, and then also have these new members. It must be amazing to play with your daughter. How does that feel for you?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Well, she lives with me here, and there's nothing like having someone, you know, when you're in a band, people don't show up for practice. People are less committed to the band, and everyone in the band knows this story. But when you got someone who lives in your house, and my daughter, and she plays keyboards, I'm like, you know what, she plays piano, done piano lessons, and I'm like, you know what, you're going to play for Upper Hutt Posse keyboard. Just hold down some chords, you know. I haven't got to do anything too fantastic, but she's just fantastic anyway on the keys.
Hard out. I bet she is. And also, that's the best way to practice as well, is playing live. It's like 10 rehearsals all squashed into one. So it must be a pretty good crash course too for all of you performing together. I wanted to ask you about the...
Perform together? No, not at all. Two of the band members are in Auckland.
Oh, true. So you really do have this kind of like special time this weekend where you get to play with everybody all in one place.
Yeah, but I mean, look, me and my brother, MCY, we played 2 weeks ago at a Matariki gig in Wellington. That was just me on guitar and my brother on bass.
Mm.
So that was called a te kupu gig, but, you know, it's basically Upper Hutt Posse, you know, we're playing together.
How do some of these songs feel to you playing them, you know, all these years later? They're still such anthems, and they still have such relevance to today in terms of the politics of them as well. How does it feel playing those tracks that you wrote a long time ago now? Do you feel like they've changed over time, or do you feel like they still have that same energy of those first days?
Well, it feels fantastic, you know. Here too is just to play that, and its relevance today, its relevance today is the same as it was back when it was written, as most songs are.
Mm.
But, you know, we'll be starting our set with F-U-C-K, The Status Quo, one of our songs from that same album which you just played, Tangata Whenua, which was released in 1995, Movement in Demand. 1995, man, that's 26 years ago. So, yeah, and this is to play this song. We're doing a hard-out set. I mean, F-U-C-K, The Status Quo, Resistance, Ngāti, Liberation, Etu, Hardcore, Kapawha Tundu Mātou, Revolutionary, if you get that tune in, because there's six bands playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It must be pretty cool to be able to play, as you say, with these other bands as well. A lot of these younger artists who are coming through would look to you and your music as things that they've grown up with and you know, anthems that they have learned, and that politics has probably helped shape a lot of that music. How does it feel for you as a musician and as an activist to see a new generation coming through who've drawn directly from what you've done in Upper Hutt Posse and making their own music?
Well, as I understand, the bands that are playing are like hard out punk / rock sort of music. You know, they're not like MCs. We'll be the only, I'll probably be the only guy rapping there.
But I feel like there's a through line with some of that conversation that you have.
They're of a different genre, but in terms of, influencing other people, yeah. That feels grand, but, you know, I'm not really, it doesn't matter. We're just doing music. We're going to keep doing music. By the way, we'll be releasing our next album in October, planned for October this year.
Awesome.
So it goes on.
What's going into the new record?
What did you say?
What's going into the new record? What kind of tracks can we expect?
Well, there's some tracks that are going to throw people for sure. That like some jazz, avant-garde, free jazz type music. But then we go from that to reggae, to rocksteady, to hard-out rap music, to ska, to like a slow jam. It's like, that's how it's always been. You know, with Up Up Posse, bringing in the different influences and just the different genres, because we don't want to be, people wanted to pigeonhole us back in the day when we sort of hit the limelight with the release of Air 2 on Later It Was Pictures, and they are a rap band. So when you get called a rap band, they think, they're not musicians, and that's all they do is rap. But no, that our first release had a reggae song on it, and then a political rap song on it as well as Air 2 on our release. And our debut album in 89 had a slow jam, a political slow jam by the name of Stormy Weather. And, pushing all those, we're like not one-dimensional.
No.
I'm actually talking more about me. I'm the guy that writes most of the songs, pulls together the band, has kept it going, essentially for, 33 years now.
Far out. That's a long time to keep a band running. That's a long time to keep a project alive, and the energy is still just as potent. As you mentioned, the bands that are going to be performing alongside you last night have got incredible energy of their own. Memory Foam from up here in Tāmaki Makaurau. Wi-Fi, Te Tai Tokoro, Hagseed from Tāmaki Makaurau, Halftime from Kirikiriroa, and Roy Ewan from Tāmaki as well. It's going to be a really special evening and a great celebration of a show that, in some ways, now we get, an even better thing than what we would have got the first time, because we get two gigs up here in Auckland. We're going to be seeing you tomorrow at Whammy Bar. This is Upper Hutt Posse performing as part of Hoki Mai Ki Te Hiri Hiri. Te Kupu, thank you very much for chatting with us this morning. I think we should listen to Etu now as a way
to... Hold on, before you go.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm talking on air, I'd like to take this opportunity just to clear up one little thing. In October last year, there was an award given to one of the ex-band members, DLT, and in the story on TV1 News, they said that he co-wrote Air 2. That annoyed the hell out of me, because he didn't co-write Air 2. I wrote that song, and my brother is the other credited co-writer, because he came up with the bass line, simple bass line. DLT added some scratching, but that's not a songwriter credit. So I complained to TVNZ, says, hey, you need to correct that. They didn't, because, you know, they just think they're big wigs, they don't need to correct anything when they are wrong frequently. So I took it to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. The Broadcasting Standards Authority has come back to me just a few weeks back and says, they did muck it up. we do think that you wrote the song and they agreed with that, but we don't find TV One News in the wrong because they received a press release on Waiata Māori Music Awards which said that DLT was the co-writer on that song. So they got that shoddy press release and ran with it, but they still needed to make some type of apology or amendment or, you know, just a retraction to say who wrote the song. And I figure it like this. If Dave Dobbin or Neil Finn, a celebrated nationally song of theirs, was credited with the song wrong songwriter on TV One News, and either of them called up TV One and said, hey man, that guy didn't write the song, or I did, or whatever, TV One News would go, we'll make a little mention in tonight's news for that. But because TV One News is racist, just like society is, they don't give a damn that it's a Māori song written by a Māori songwriter. They just figure that they can just go on and ignore it. And the same with Broadcasting Standards Authority. I didn't expect them one moment to actually find in my favour that TV One News didn't, should have just made a retraction or anything. So,
Te Kupu, would you like to introduce this track then, E Tū by Upper Hutt Posse? Give us the songwriting credits for this one.
Yeah, for those that just missed that little, blab that I just had, I wrote that song with MTY who came up with the bass line. I had the lyrics in my head for quite a while. I'd just come off working with Moana Jackson, the Bring Round to Marae, from 1985 to around when the song was being composed at the end of 87. And this was part of a special report that the then Minister of Justice, Geoffrey Palmer, had asked for, which was seeking the views of Māori people about the criminal justice system. A Jewish woman from the Justice Department hired a Jewish woman from New York to come here and ask Māori people these questions and then write a report for the Minister for the Justice Department, for the country. They hired this Jewish woman because she was Jewish. Well, she might have some affinity with Māori people because they suffered oppression in Europe, as we all know, under Hitler. But she couldn't actually do the job. So, because Māori people are like, yes, we know about all this, but you can't tell our story. We need to tell our story.
Mm.
She stepped aside. Moana Jackson came on, and Moana Jackson, the man, the lawyer, not the singer.
Yeah, I was following that one there. That would have been quite a pivot in vibes. So this is how Upper Hutt Posse's track, E Tū, came about. Te Kupu, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. We'll catch you tomorrow at Hoki Mai ki te Hirihiri at Whammy Bar. Have a lovely rest of your Friday, and we'll see you later. Ka kite, see ya.
Peace.
Ka ranga. Rangatahi, whakarongo, whakarongo. We nā tamatoa, so we must like te ahi. Don't get led astray by Babylon. Kia mou ki tō Māori. There's a lot of people who think they're tough today, but Jesus lights it over, how would have blown them away. To whom we hear ki, he had spreads to disgust by cutting down the flagpole. Ha, yo, pake kio Māori in a mata whero. So te kōti exacted it in a slaughter. It's a Māori battalion in a World War II. Staunch on the battlefield and had many clues. Like Moana, Ngāti Mui from Hill 209. Victoria Cross, so true, so strong. It's a Māori was a fierce warrior. Strike fear in the hearts of Babylon soldier. Yeah, it's true, yeah, it's true. That's why I'm talking to you. Kia kaha, 2-1-2-2. E Tū, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. E Tū, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Yes, the man who tried to kill him was Fontaine Ski, but he became a victim of his own folly. Cause T took a word of him to smash, you see. Guerrilla warfare, ha, Māori. The British tried to take a power, they thought it'd be a victory. But Kawiti had fooled the enemy. The British raided the pie, yeah, but they got shot down. Cause Kawiti had a plan and it was sound. E Tū, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. E Tū, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. To your high top, believes in holding the land against the foe, yo, the British man. To a hymn that's essential to the manner of the chief. In the hut, there was some hardcore feats in 1846 in the Hutt Valley. I see fighting broke out between the British and the Maori. And more than one settler on disputed land was killed when the Maori fought the British plan. Cause white rule and justice go hand in hand. So against that is where we stand. Yo, don't forget those who fought before. Our struggle continues more and more. Yeah, it's a struggle, it's a struggle. System's got us in a muddle. So strive to get out of this puddle. And to stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. And to stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Say it loud.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.